year. I mean, it's the start of the year, but it's the beginning of Toshin Ayin Hay. I hope to continue with that sefer, with the Maridik sefer, which I have to think. Next Tuesday, I'm going to be in Eretz Yisrael, Mr. Shem Fechassin. So I just wanted to talk to you a little bit today. Some of the things that I had in my mind, Shabbos Bereishis, and now. Almost every sefer that we have has a hakdama to it. A good sefer has a beautiful hakdama. Hakdama is not just, I want to thank my wife, I want to thank my kids, my publisher. The hakdama, says in the Svarim, contains within it the neshama of the sefer. The soul of the sefer is in the hakdama. In the introduction. So it's interesting, Chumash doesn't have any introduction. It's not like a Kadosh Baruch Hu begins by giving us a little bit of an introduction before Bereishis Bara Elokim. It's just all of a sudden, boom, he hits us with Bereishis Bara Elokim. There's no Hakdama. But the truth is, we have a great principle in all of Yiddishkeit and all of creation. In the words of the Sefer Yetzirah, Seifan knows b'tchilosan, and tchilosan b'utza b'seifan, which means the way the Jews dance in a circle, everything is a circle. At the end of the Torah is the introduction to the beginning of the Torah. That's the introduction. The last words of the Torah, that's why on Simchas Torah, we end the Torah and we immediately begin the Torah. The end of the Torah, when we complete, when we finish the Torah, when we say the words, "Chla oisis amayvsim, chla yada chazaka she'osa Moshe la'inei kol Yisrael," to all of the great wonders and all of the great miracles that Moshe Rabbeinu did before the eyes of the Jewish people. So we all scream, "Chazak, chazak, neschazek," and then, "Gracious Barulakim as the Shemayim desarets." Gracious world of Kim is the Shemayim Vesarts. In the beginning, Hashem created heaven and earth. So the Svarim tell us that the introduction to Bereishis is the end of the Torah. To Sir. That's the introduction to Bereishis. All of the miracles that Moshe Benu did, La'enei Kol Yisrael, before the eyes of the Jewish people. Therefore, we find, those of you who are familiar with the Svarim HaKadoshim, you know that all of the Svarim work on this inyan of showing the connection between the end of the Torah and the beginning of the Torah. That the Torah ends with a lamb and it begins with a beis, which is lev, heart, and so on. But thousands and thousands of drushes to explain the connection between the end of the Torah and the beginning of the Torah. Because it's a dance, it's a circle. And all ends connect to all beginnings. So that's the introduction to the Torah. But we need to understand, on our level, what's the connection between the miracles that Moshe Rabbeinu did, La'enei Kol Yisrael, before the eyes of Am Yisrael, and Bereishis Bara Elokim? So listen carefully. This really would take a few hours, and it's just a few minutes to try to summarize this. Machshava and a hachana for the year. A machshava and a hachana. Everybody knows that the name Elohim is very hard. It's a hard name. Because Elohim always means Midas what? Midas Adin. It's hard. Elohim is hard. Midas Adin. So, but the world was created, says Bereishis Bara Elohim. Only later on, a little bit later, it says, V'yayim asois Hashem Elohim Eretz v'shamayim. There it says, Yudke Vavke. V'yayim asois Hashem Elohim. Chazal, of course, Chazal point out what appears to be a strange contradiction. First it says, Bereishis Bara Elokim, as a Shemayim Vesarim. Then it says, B'yom Asayis Hashem Elokim. Hashem is always Midas HaRachman. So you all know what Chazal teaches. That in the beginning, b'tchila, what? Olah b'machshava. It was not Hashem's original thought. Olah b'machshava. There's no way to translate. I mean, you know what the words mean? That it rose in Hashem's mind, it ascended in Hashem's mind. B'tchila, olah b'machshava. That Hashem Yisbach first conceived of creating the world b'midas adin. But then he saw, just love this guy, that a world that's created completely with midas adin cannot exist, right? So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu joined, it was meshatif with it, the midas harachmim. That's why it says a little bit later, b'yom asois, yud kei vav kei, Hashem Elokim, Eretz v'shamayim. Hashem Elokim, Eretz v'shamayim. Now you know when you're learning Gemara, you need to understand the havamina of the Gemara also, right? When the Gemara has a havamina, it's very, very important. It's not stam. Hashem is Baruch, not only did Hashem have a havamina to create the world with midas adin, but the Torah actually begins with the words. Gracious Bar Elokim. The Torah actually begins with the words. Gracious Bar Elokim. Elokim is Midas Adin. Hashem Zbach made such a world. Gracious Bar Elokim is a Shamayim Vesa Arts. So we need to understand this Olav Machshava that Hashem Zbach had. That it rose kivyachal in Hashem's mind, olah b'machshava. We need to understand the olah b'machshava of Midas Adin that's written in the Torah, Bereishis Elokim. Since we know, David HaMelech says, olam chesed yibana. Everything in this world is because of Hashem's love. It's all olam chesed yibana. So how do we understand this? Olah b'machshava that rose in Midas Adin. Hashem's olah b'machshava was to create the world b'midas adin. But the world couldn't handle that, so he brought in the midas harachmim, the shem yud kei vav kei. What's the havamin of midas adin? That everything should be din. Olam chesed yibana, Hashem loves us. The whole world is because of a hava, because of Hashem's love. So what is the inyan of midas adin? Reish b'alukim, olah b'machshava. Do you understand the question? It's an important question. And you will know the answer to the question, of course. The olah b'machshava to create midas adin means that ideally, a world of din, a world of midas adin, is capable of giving man the greatest possible satisfaction imaginable. The beginning of Mesil Sesharim, the other Ramchal tells us that all of life is one big milchama, right? It's one big war. And on the battlefield of life, we are constantly challenged by very difficult and often very, very painful nisyanos. Very difficult tests, nisyanos that we all go through. And we all know that the reason for that is l'fum tzara agra, to the degree that a person works hard and struggles through those nisyanos, and is able to overcome the kaychus of chayshech inside of himself and outside of himself, to that degree, the person is able to earn even more and more schar. And more important than that, more important than the reward that he earns and the points that he's accumulating, there's no more intense and greater pleasure than a person who's able to overcome challenges, who's able to overcome difficulties and challenges, and to accomplish what he was set out to accomplish in life. That person's life is the most meaningful there is. So although none of us ask for challenges, We ask Hashem every morning, Al tivi ani loli de nisayin. We don't look for nisayinus. Some of you might know families that have children, or you might be part of families that have children that have special needs, lo aleinu, either physically handicapped or mentally handicapped. Some of you have been in Camp Hask or Camp Simcha, you know. And if you've met these parents, I could say that the parents of these children that I've met over the years, for the most part, are the top percentile of the human race, these people. Some of these people I know are destroyed and crushed by what they have to go through with these children. But most of whom I've seen, they're the most unbelievable people. The most heroic people in the world. I know other people. I know over the years, hundreds of guys. Just by Hakafis the other night, there's this bocha that comes to Hakafis. He doesn't really come other times. Maybe on Purim he comes to shul. I don't know. He comes to Hakafis. He's got all kinds of stuff on him and all things. He's all the kishutim of the kali he's wearing, he comes over and dancing with him, and he says to me, he whispers, he leans over Rebbe, I'm 19 months clean from drugs, 19 months. I gave him a big hug and he said, it's unbelievable, it's almost two years, it's unbelievable, and he's so proud of himself. And I told him, and I tell these guys that you're the most heroic people I know. And the truth is that these guys are special guys. I mean, they go through a lot of stuff. But those who overcome these disabilities, these challenges, and they fight with them, they become great people the rest of their lives. And they help a lot of other people get out also. They help a lot of people out later on. So the name Elokim, Midas Adin, it hurts, it's hard. It's a milchama, the nisyonos of life. They're very, very hard. But there's no question that ideally, all of Hashem's highest conception of creation, all of the highest ideal conception of creation, not that Hashem made a mistake, Hashem set things up in such a way with the ideal creation is a creation that's filled with difficulties and challenges, and that a person will be able to somehow make his way and cut through all of the midas adin, because the greatness that one achieves and the sweetness that one tastes as a result of those accomplishments, that's what makes life beautiful. So, Olam Machshav, Levroisav, Midas Adin. Olam Machshav, there's a world that's called Olam Machshav. And it's a world that's Bereishis Bara Elokim. Elokim, the Midas Adin. But unfortunately, pure Midas Adin, in other words, were Hashem to conceal himself completely, and would we be left in such a place of Bechira, where there's really, literally, no trace of any love or encouragement? So most people wouldn't manage at all. We wouldn't be able to do that. We'd fall apart. Most people just wouldn't be able to manage. Nowadays, if you look at a person the wrong way, he's got to go to therapy for 20 years. Most people can't handle that. The Midas Adin in such a way. There's a teaching from the Gra, and the Rabbi Elimelech Schusingly also says this. You remember the Gemara tells us, the Gemara Menachas says that Moshe Rabbeinu heard a shiur from Rabbi Akiva. You know the Gemara. So Moshe Rabbeinu heard a shiur from Rabbi Akiva. And Moshe Rabbeinu has shown this person in the future, Rabbi Akiva. And he heard this shiur from Rabbi Akiva. Unbelievable, the greatness of Rabbi Akiva. And then Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to see what's going to be with this Jew, Rabbi Akiva. And Hashem showed him the future of Rabbi Akiva, that he was tortured to death, and that his meat, the flesh of his body, was being sold by the Romans for souvenirs in the marketplace. So you remember what Moshe Rabbeinu said? Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't believe it. And he said, Zut Torah, This is the Torah. This is the reward. You just showed me what a great tzaddik he is, what a great Talmud Chacham he is. This is his reward. You remember what Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu? What did Hashem answer Moshe Rabbeinu? Who knows? You remember what did Hashem say to Moshe Rabbeinu? It's a good. Moshe Rabbeinu asked a good question. What did Hashem say to Moshe Rabbeinu? He said, "Shtok, be silent." You remember the next words? Kach ola b'machshava lefanai. Kach ola b'machshava lefanai. This is the thought that came before me. All this from I'm talking about. What does that mean? Kach ola. What's the answer? Be silent. Hashem says to Moshe, be quiet. Don't ask any more questions. Kach ola b'machshava lefanai. Kach ola b'machshava lefanai. So the Vilna Gaon and Rabbi Elimelech say, Kach ola b'machshava lefanai, that Hashem was saying to Moshe ben Rabbi Moshe, this is a Jew, Rabbi Akiva. This is a Jew of that kind that first came b'machshava lefanai when I wanted to create the world purely with me, this edim. Because this person's life has been an ongoing story of misery and suffering, of emptiness, of loneliness. And despite all of that, he fought against all of that, and he made himself into Rabbi Akiva. He made himself into Rabbi Akiva. So when Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Shtoik kach olav machshava lefanai, he was saying, you see this person, Rabbi Akiva? This person is kach olav machshava lefanai. This is the kind of a person from the original plan of creation, so to speak, from that highest order, from that ideal world, where there's no welfare programs, no unemployment, no freebies, no little pinches on the cheek, no little arm around the shoulder of encouragement, where you got to take on all of the hestapan, all of the chayshach and imamish have to make your life into something. Rabbi Akiva is such a person. Now, what's ironic is that the emesis of Moshe Rabbeinu was a person like that too. Moshe Rabbeinu was called, we just read in the Zayis HaBracha, Zayis HaBracha Baruch Moshe, Ish HaElokim is B'nai Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is called Ish HaElokim. Ish HaElokim. Now even though we know, Chazal tell us, that when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the house was filled with light. That's talking about Mitzad Etzim, his neshama. He had a very, very, very high exalted neshama. But as far as his midas were concerned, the Degel Machne Ephraim in Parshas Kisisa rings from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, from his grandfather, that Moshe Rabbeinu had the midas of a Rasha Mamash, of a complete Rasha. Moshe Rabbeinu had what came to the world with the most horrible midas. You know, it's funny, some of you have siblings, and every family, I mean, sometimes you have where the children are similar. But I know that you had our first child, the personality, which from the beginning was very, very, very strong. Very strong, very, very tough. And the second one was the mamish, the opposite. Like, it was like the sweetest, softest, gentlest malach, the second child. And I know my mother would complain because the oldest one gave her, gave us all a hard time. And my mother would like say to me, like, "What kind of child are you raising?" You know. So then I would always say to my mother, "But we're also raising the second one. It's the same parents." And so if you have a tain against our parenting, I don't know. There's certain teva that a child comes into the world with a teva, right? Some of you have a softer, more gentler teva. Midas Chesed. Some of you come into the world with this. Or an Indian of Gvura, and they're all different combinations of Chesed, Shebechesed, and Gvura, Shebechesed, Ferris, and so on, and everybody's different. But we have a Kabbalah that Moshe Rabbeinu's Teva, his nature, was the nature, Mamish, of a Rasha. There's even a very, very strange legend that's brought down in the Tiferes HaSel Mishnayos at the end of Kiddushin. I wouldn't even recommend that you see it. It's so bizarre, and it's already been proven to be something that was floating around in the non-Jewish world, in the Goyish world. It's not accurate. But there's a whole story about somebody who knew how to read by seeing someone's face, and he saw somebody had made a statue of Moshe Rabbeinu, who saw Moshe Rabbeinu. And when this person saw it, he said, "I never saw such a face in my life. I'm such an evil, wicked person." That's not true, the story. But it is true that Moshe Rabbeinu's nature, the teva of Moshe Rabbeinu was a Rosh HaMerusha. A Rosh. It's hard for us to understand. And Moshe Rabbeinu, we see that he knew from the very beginning how to kill people, right? We saw that. Moshe Rabbeinu made himself into an Ish Elokim. He made himself into an Ish Elokim. If I'll tell you an amazing thing. The Gemara in Chulin is asking about certain people, where they found, where they hinted at in the Chumash. Esther in the Torah, Minayin, right? So the Gemara says, where do we see Esther hinted at in the Torah? Vanochi, Haster, Haster, Pana. Mordechai is Mordechai. Haman in the Torah, Minayin, Hamin Ha'ez. Moshe in the Torah, Minayin. The Gemara asks, where do we see Moshe Rabbeinu hinted at in the Torah? So you remember what the Gemara says? Where's Moshe been hinted at in the Torah? You know? Anybody know? The end of Parshas Bereishis, when Hashem was already seeing that the world wasn't working out, and he was going to bring a flood. So it says b'shagam hu basa. B'shagam hu basa means that man is just a piece of flesh. Ugh. Like Hashem was like disgusted already. This b'shagam, he is also just flesh. B'shagam is the gematria Moshe. So first of all, did you ever hear such a strange question in life? The Gemara asks, Moshe min HaTorah minai? You need to find a hint of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah? He's got his name plastered all over the place. Every single pasuk is V'davar Shom Moshe Leib. Moshe min HaTorah minai? It says Moshe everywhere. You don't need to have Moshe. I understand Esther, I understand. Haman, Hamin, Mordechai, Mordor, I understand. But Moshe min HaTorah minai? What do you mean Moshe min HaTorah minai? Zichut Torah's Moshe. The whole Torah's Moshe over there. His name is everywhere. And then the strangest place he shows up, Moshe shows up by the beginning of the flood, when things turned in the wrong direction. And Hashem like is said, "Ach, b'shagam is a piece of flesh. B'shagam hu basa." That's when Moshe shows up in the marble. Why is he? What does it mean? He's hinted at over there. So it could be that the Gemara is saying, if you look at yourself and you think that you can never, ever, ever become an Ish Elokim. Moshe Rabbeinu, what are you asking, Akasha? Moshe Rabbeinu came to the world, the whole world was filled with light. He was the biggest tzaddik. He was the sweetest. He was the kindest. He was the best. Hashem is saying, no, that's not true. I know my Moshe. My Moshe is hinted at already in the Pasuk B'Shagam U'Bosa about the flood, by the marble. A piece of flesh, that's how he came into the world. He came into the world with a personality, with a nature, with a teva of a Rasha. He made himself into Moshe Isha Elokim. Because you know that the name Elokim is the gematria Hateva. Right? The name Elokim equals exactly Hateva, nature. And that was the nature of Moshe Rabbeinu. B'shagam hu basa. The Moshe Rabbeinu was worthy of being washed away with the flood. That's the kind of person he was. He didn't come like that into the world with everything. He was a tremendous, he had horrible midas, he was a big baltaiva. But Moshe Rabbeinu made himself into Moshe Ish Elokim. He made himself into Moshe Ish Elokim. Now let's tie it together, the end of the Torah and the beginning of the Torah. Let's go back. Remember, the Torah ends with the words, "Chalaisis Amayisim," all the miracles, "Yada Chazak Asher Asa Moishel Einei Kol Yisrael," all the miracles that Moshe was able to perform before the eyes of the Jewish people, and then what? Bereishis Baruch. It's the Maharal in many Sfarim, in many of his Sfarim. The Maharal explains, how is it that a tzaddik is able to perform miracles? From where does a tzaddik get the koyches that a tzaddik is goyzer and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mekayim? And where does a tzaddik take the koyches to perform miracles? So the Maharal, in many places, the Maharal brings the Gemara and the Medrash. We just were reading the whole Sukkos and Shemini Atzeres Halal, and it says in Tillim, Hayom Ra'ov V'Yanos, Hayar Din Yisav La'ocha. So it says the ocean is talking about how the ocean split, the Yamsuf split. So it says, Hayom Ra'ov V'Yanos. The ocean saw and ran away. It split. So the Gemara Chazal asks, Ma ra hayom? What did the ocean see? Do you remember what?
Yosef.
Aroina shel Yosef. The ocean saw the Aron that was carrying the bones of Yosef Hatzalim. Hayom ra, when the ocean saw, the ocean didn't want to split. Teva is very strong. Teva, nature, is very strong. It does not want. If you and I stand the whole day, if we stand the whole day in front of Kaniaga Lake or something, and say, "Move over," nothing's going to happen. I mean, I don't know everybody. It could be some of you Obama dragons. But if you want to try that, we can make a class trip. We'll go upstate and stand in front of Kaniaga Lake, and all of us could scream out, "Vayitzaku, Vayitzaku." It's not. Maybe a little bit. We'll see. A little wave or something, but nothing major. Teva is very strong. Teva is very, very, very strong. Like, even when it comes to a little teva look, like you feel like taking your thing out of your pocket to look at what's doing, you know, did you get any texts or emails? It's also, teva is very strong. But the teva in physical nature is. So the ocean didn't want to move over. The water wasn't going anywhere. Not going anywhere. Why should we move? Teva is Teva. Teva is strong. Elokim. Teva is Elokim. It's strong. It's din. Din? Elokim? I'm not going anywhere. Who are you? So when did the ocean split? When it saw the Arona Shel Yosef. Hayom Ra'a V'yonos. Why did it split before the Aron of Yosef? Because it says by Yosef at Tzadik, V'yonos V'yetze Hachutza. That he ran away. He left, he ran outside. When does that, what's that pasuk talking about by Yosef HaTzadik? What's that referring to? With the wife of Potiphar, she was coming after him all the time. We can't be masik what that means. She was the most beautiful person, the most beautiful woman in the world. She was coming after him like that. And it says in pasuk, Vayonas Vayetze Achutza, that he ran away. So now, Hayom Ra'a Vayonas, the ocean saw and ran away. So what did the ocean see? Chazal say, Arona Shel Yosef, the bones of Yosef HaTzadik. Because by Yosef HaTzadik, it says, Vayonos, like Hayom Ra'a Vayonos, it says, by Yosef HaTzadik, Vayonos Vayetze Achutza. So the Maral explains, how is it that the bones of Yosef HaTzadik were able to cause the Yamsuf to run away? The answer is, because he ran away. Meaning, the Maral says, that a tzaddik who is able to overcome his nature, a tzaddik who is able to fight that milchama against Elohim, against Teva, and is able to overcome the darkest impulses, he's able to overcome that Teva, that nature. Before such a tzaddik was able to cause Teva, his own Teva, to bend and to break, and he runs away. Yosef ran away from his nature. His nature was to be together. The Gemara in Saita says when Yosef said, well, there are two, there's Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara says that when Yosef came to the house, one view says that he was waiting for a time that there would be nobody in the house, so he could be alone with Potiphar's wife, so he'd be able to go and do the Aveira. That's one of the views in the Gemara. In other words, he was slipping into that aveira. But the last minute, Yosef HaTzadik. That's when he started to become Yosef HaTzadik. At the last minute, Yosef HaTzadik gave some. And Vayonis Ve'etzeh Chutzah, he ran away. In other words, Yosef HaTzadik fought that quiet Muhammad. Chazal say it was Bitsina. It was done privately. Nobody knew. Nobody saw. Yosef HaTzadik fought that Muhammad against his Yetzirah, against his Teva. And because of that, the teva of the ocean. The teva of the ocean was suspended. The tzaddik is fighting against his teva. The tzaddik is an ish elokim. He fights through the challenges of the name elokim. And because of that, the tzaddik is able to be goyzer, is able to make zeirus teva. He's able to cause teva. Because teva bends, teva breaks, teva falls apart in front of the person who is stronger than teva. Do you understand? Who fights against his own teva. For those who fight against their teva, for those who are of the Rabbi Akiva, Moshe Rabbeinu types, who are fighting against their teva, all kinds of amazing things happen in their lives. all kinds of miraculous things happen. There are always some guys that make crack. Like, you know, you want to make Kiddush Levana and you can't because it's cloudy. So there's always somebody there's always somebody from the shul to say, Rabbi, why don't you just go, you know, move the clouds? No, because there's a famous thing from the Ribnitzer Rebbe. It's not so long ago. I mean, it must be around 40 years ago, 45 years ago, where the Ribnitzer Rebbe went outside. We have a few stories like that about Tzaddikim, but this was something we've seen in our generation, that there were many, many people who went outside the Ribnitzer Rebbe, and it was cloudy, and it was the last day to make Kiddush Levana, and the Ribnitzer just went like this, and all the clouds started to move where his hands went. Okay, Weinberger can't do that. And there's a good reason for that, because the Ribnitzer Rebbe, Zchusi Yelena, was a person who lived at that time in communist Russia, Romania and Russia, and he went every single morning to be toivel, the toivel during the winter in the ice. If you know a little bit of the Ribnitzer Rebbe, his tikkun chatzos every single night is for 3-4 hours screaming and crying. A person who fasted every day of the week except for Shabbos and Yom Tov, that's how he lived. He was a person for whom Teva had tremendous respect for the Ribnitzer Rebbe, you understand? So when the Ribnitzer Rebbe says to the clouds, get out of here, the clouds say, okay, we're going. Because this same tzaddik, was able to tell his body, be quiet, don't tell me what to do. I'm in charge. I'm in charge of Teva. Don't you tell me what to do. I'm going to tell you what to do. Therefore, nature bends to such a person. Nature melts in front of the tzaddik. So now we come to the end of the Torah and the beginning of the Torah. The end of the Torah is all the miracles that Moshe Rabbeinu did la'enei kol Yisrael. So the question is, how was Moshe Rabbeinu able to perform all these great miracles? How come he can do those things? What's the answer? What's the answer to that? Reishis bara Elokim. The answer is that Moshe Rabbeinu lived according to that ideal plan of Elokim, of a Jew who overcomes the most base, disgusting things inside of himself, and makes himself into an Isha Lakin. Makes his life into something which is higher than Teva. So look, all the miracles that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to perform is because of what? Bereishis bara Lakin. He lived with that Midas Adin. And he became an Isha Lakin. He fought against that Teva that he had that was so disgusting and so ugly. He fought against that. So when it comes time to start the new year, and to begin really what the tzaddikim called the holy winter nights, this time of the year, so much time to learn Bez Hashem without interruptions and try to grow. The worst thing is to have a thought that everything is just that, you know, look, I feel like I'm the same person I was last year. I went through a whole Elul and Hol Rosh Hashanah, says Mitzvah, and through Kippur and Shana Rabbah, and Sukkot, Shana Rabbah, and Shmei Atzeres, and the Kafis, I'm the same person. To fall into that way of thinking. And then you see yourself right away getting back to the same old habits that, you know, it's time for davening, you don't get up on time for davening. You're one of these people that's dragging around like walking into some late minyan halfway through. You know, we're not going to minyan at all, chas v'shalom. And living that way. Or coming very late to learning and not being able to concentrate, not putting yourself in it. And we become, especially in Tavshin Ayin Hay, in our times, it's become very easily discouraged by the milchamas, by the nesiyanis that Hashem is giving us at the end of time. The truth is that the nesiyanis of the end of time, in many ways, in ruchnias, are the strongest nesiyanis that have ever been. The strongest nesiyanis. The nesiyanis that we're living through now, the street and the technology, the strongest, in ruchnias, the biggest nesiyanis that have ever been. We don't have so many nesiyanis anymore with anti-Semitism as much as used to be, although it's plenty. But we don't feel that. We're not waiting every Thursday or Friday for a pogrom, you know. And we're not even challenged so much philosophically like some of the old days. To be a firm person nowadays is pretty easy. But the nesiyanis of Kedusha, the nesiyanis of learning, the nesiyanis of Tefillah. So how does one fight against all these nesiyanis? What's the way to think to become an ish milchama, a baal milchamas? How do you become a baal milchamas? So I'll tell you a story, and then I'm not going to explain it. I'll just tell you the story. When the Baal Tanya was a young man, you know, he was already known as one of the greatest geniuses of learning, one of the biggest Iluyim in all of Europe. But he had a restlessness, he had a fire inside of him, and he wasn't satisfied, and he went looking for more. And he came to a precious drachma, a crossroads in his life. And he couldn't decide, should he go to Vilna? At that time, the Vilna Gaon was still alive. Should he go to the greatest Lamdan, the greatest teacher of Torah in the world, the Vilna Gaon, to learn, to continue his learning? Or should he go to Mezrich, to the Mezrich Magid, the Talmud of the Baal Shem? And legend has it that the Baal Tanya said, to learn, he says, I already know how to learn a little bit, but to daven, I don't know how to daven. And halavai, we should daven like he doesn't know how to daven, but he said, I don't know how to daven. So he decided to go to Mezrich. He was in Mezrich for a couple of weeks, and he didn't see it happening. He decided he was going to leave. So he went to the Mezrich Magid to say goodbye, to ask for a bracha. And the Mezrich Magid gave him a bracha and said goodbye. But he said, but before you go, I want you to also stop by to say goodbye by the Malach. You know who the Malach was? Who's the Malach?
The son
of the Mezrich Magid. His name was Rabbi Avram. He's called the Malach. There are no words. It was 10 days ago. The Malach is Sadiq Yisoyed Oilam. He was a Malach Elokim. Later on, he became Chavusas with the Baal Tanya. The Baal Tanya, the deal was, the Baal Tanya taught him Nigla, and he taught the Baal Tanya Kabbalah. They were Chavusas, the Malach. So the Baal Tanya said, sure, because they already were friendly. So the Baal Tanya said, of course. The Baal Tanya goes to the Malach, and he says he's leaving. The Malach says, no. And then they're walking outside, where there's a wagon with the horses ready to take the Baal Tanya. And the Malach is standing next to the horse, and the Malach says to the Baal Tanya, you know how the Balagala, the wagon driver, how he gets the horse to move? He gives a patch. He gives it a smack. And then the horse starts to run, because the horse wants to run away from the patch, right? He's trying to run away from the smack. And he's running. The horse thinks he's getting further away from the smack. But he's getting a little bit tired, and then what happens? Boom, he gets another patch. And he runs because he's trying to get away from the smack. The Malach looks at the Tanya, he says, but that's not fair, that's a horse. A ben Adam, a ben Das, a human being, turns around. And he looks to see who's the one who's giving him the patch. And why is he giving him the patch? And the Baal Tanya stayed. And the rest is history. You understand the Maaseh a little bit, to understand the story. Difficulties in life, challenges, milchamas. You can either take them like a horse, or you can take them like the Tanya. The way the horse takes it is you just try to run away. You know, there's some guys when they come to school, they just ask, where's the easy A, right? Where can I get an easy A? Most of the easy A types of situations in life don't add up to anything that's too worthwhile. They don't really give you much meaning. The things in life that you remember, things in life that are the most meaningful, the ones that you have to work hardest for. A fair, the horse, when there's something hard, just runs away and thinks that he's running away from it. But the Malach was saying, I don't know why he said this to the Tanya, but the Tanya understood why. That's why I don't know but the Malach said, but the Ben Adam turns around and he sees who's the one who's giving him the patch. It's the Baruch Shalom, so it came. And why is he giving him the challenge? Why is he giving him the difficulty? Because he loves him. Because Olam Chesed Yibana. Because the name of Elokim only comes from love. That's all it comes from. That's why he's giving him the patch. So Hashem Hasbach should help. To say that it should be a year that's not with any nisyonis, that's a much bigger miracle than the Yamsuf. So it's going to be a year that's filled with nisyonis. It's filled with nisyonis. It's filled with milchamas. But remember, the tachlis is to turn around, not to be a fared, not to be a horse that runs away, but to look, to turn around and to look and see the Baruch Shalom giving a little wink and saying, "I'm the one who gave you the, I'm the one who made this hard for you. I'm the one who I'm the one who's giving you the patch. I'm the one who's making life complicated. But the reason for that is so that you could become an Ish Elokim, so that you could become greater. You could fight, you could struggle, you could work. On your madrega, on your level, each person with his own nisyanis, to become something greater and something bigger. That's the tachlis of being in this world. Bereshis bara Elokim, it's a Shemayim v'Saras. And you know what? When you take on those challenges, an amazing thing happens. You begin to see miracles in your life. You begin to see oceans opening up before you. Not mamish oceans, but you begin to see things happen in a very, very amazing way. But if you run away, then everything closes. You just drown in teva. You just drown in teva. So Hashem is baruch shem mechazik you. Chazak chazik v'neschazik v'shem neschazik. To start the Torah again. Gracious v'rolokim. Gracious v'rolokim. The tzaddikim say gracious, the first thing to know is it's the beginning of everything. Is Bar Elokim. Is everything is the Baruch Shalom. So each and every one of you should have a slacha this year. To be mezgabra and hold in the Sionis. And to fight the Muhammad. And if you take a couple of smacks, and if you fall down, and if it's not going, you pick yourself up and you keep on going. And you work hard. And learning, and davening, and on the chaver, and shmir sa einayim, shmir sa bris. To continue to move forward. We should be zeichet to see the time that in the schus of all of our vayar, of all of our vayonis vayetzes, will be zeichet to the big vayetze to leave this galus and to return to Yerushalayim when Mashiach came.